Welcome to Kingdom Faith London podcast. We pray that as you listen to the Word of God, you will be built up, encouraged, inspired, that it will speak right into your situation as you listen.
Okay. One of the things that I get really excited about is when Tranmere Rovers go to Wembley. And there's a story behind this, actually, and I will bring this in. But the club that I've supported since I was a boy, I was originally from Merseyside, Liverpool, near Liverpool. And there's a small club, there's Liverpool and Everton in the big city of Liverpool. And then there's a small little club called Tranmere Rovers. And Tranmere Rovers have always been the poor boys in the footballing sense of the word in the area of Liverpool. And where you've got Everton and Liverpool in the Premier Division, we've got Tranmere, which is not even in the league. We're outside of the league. And we're going to Wembley. Tranmere Rovers are going to Wembley. And there was an interview yesterday with one of the footballers. And one of the in the interview, he sort of said, you know, I've always dreamed of playing at Wembley. That was his dream. And it's got me thinking about, what's your dream? Is your dream to come and watch Tranmere play at Wembley?
It's his dream.
You're all very welcome to come and join me. We're playing next Sunday after church.
So but
you're all welcome to come and join me next week to watch Tranmere. But is that your dream? That for that footballer, he's 24 years old. He's one of our strikers, Tranmere strikers. But his dream was just to play football at Wembley. Now, for that person, and probably for the whole Tranmere team, they'll only get one opportunity to play at Wembley. By the way, are Man United playing at Wembley this year?
They've played there and already won, yeah.
we won't go there then. But what is your dream? From you know, sometimes we have natural dreams, you know, that you want to get married, have children. But there's a thing, I believe, that what God wants us to dream about in the Spirit, what God wants us to see happen right across London. And I believe that when London, something happens strategic in London, where it's set ablaze by the power of God, then that's going to go worldwide because the nations live in London. I love revival. I love talking about revival. I love talking about moves of the Spirit. That was one of the subjects that I spoke at Bible College for years. And, you know, it inspires you to dream and not dream small. Okay, we'll have a church of 50, 60 people. Or, you know, isn't it great, Hillsong? And, you know, we do need to pray. There's 11,000 ladies who came together for Hillsong Conference over these last few days. We just need to pray that every woman will be impacted with the truth and they will take that back with them so that it wasn't just an event, but it was life transforming. And you see, for me, this is about God wanting to transform lives in order for us to dream how he wants us to dream. There's, you know, dreams are something that, you know, God uses. And for some people, they dream every night. Other times people, you know, may forget dreams very, very easily. And that's me. I can't remember hardly any of my dreams. But you ask Helena and she'll remember her dreams. And, you know, I have a friend, somebody called David Greaves. And he dreams every single night. And he has a technique of actually interpreting these dreams. I'm not going to go into how he does that. But, you know, he's got this technique of looking at and seeing what God is saying through each and every dream because he believes it's from the Lord. And, you know, I know that right across the Middle East at this moment, God is giving Arab believers, Arabs, Muslims, dreams, Hindus, dreams. I was speaking to an Indian pastor this last week on Wednesday. And he is in Kerala, which is in the south of India. And he has an outreach to Odessa, which is in the north. And there's been quite a lot of persecution up there. Yeah. And what has happened there is that people are becoming Christians, quite a lot of Christians becoming Christians because of dreams. God is giving dreams to different people. And because he's giving dreams, they're then looking for, in quotes, the light, the people who have the light. Do you know that you've got the light? Yes. And so when God tells somebody who is not a believer in Jesus Christ to go and look for somebody who has the light, are they seeing you and me? Or do they just bypass you and go to somebody else that is shining the light? I want us to dream. I want us to dream as a church. I want you to dream as individuals. Because I know that God has more than just playing at Wembley as a dream. God wants to change a city. Yes. God wants to change a nation. Yes. And God wants to move right across nations for his glory, for his honor. And there's just a scripture in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. And for me, it's always a challenge when I read scripture. And at the moment, as Kingdom Faith, we're in two books of the Bible. We're in Genesis. And if you have and are following the reading plan, we're on Genesis chapter 7 today. And also Proverbs chapter 7. So we've been reading through the first seven books, seven chapters of Genesis, and we've been reading through the first seven chapters of Proverbs. But in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, everything you do flows from your heart. Okay, so everything you do flows from your heart. And then in Proverbs 5, verse 21, it says, for your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. So let's go for Proverbs 4:23. Everything you do flows from your heart. Those choices that you make, they flow from your heart. The decisions that you make flow from your heart. Those comments that you make about somebody else flows from your heart. The decision to go to an event or not actually flows from your heart. And that testimony about Wednesday, Wendy, from Wendy, about how she was speaking in tongues for 10 minutes a day and has seen circumstances around her life changed. Do you know what? She didn't want to be there on Wednesday. She's put it in her testimony that actually she plays hockey. And she plays hockey for a club. And there was a club practice night on Wednesday. And so she had a choice whether to come to pray or go to hockey. She chose to come to pray. And God blessed her as a result of coming to that event. She really wanted to go and play hockey. But she knew that when she had a choice, what was she going to do? And from the overflow of her heart, her actions, not just her words, but her actions spoke. And because she gave herself into what was going on, even when she was there, she said, actually, it was part of her sort of saying, I wish I was somewhere else. But then God got hold of her, and as a result of God getting hold of her, what is coming out of her heart is having great effect in the areas that she is working with. There was a particular person that she's known for quite some time, and she really sort of, it's like they've been avoiding each other, not deliberately, but they've just never got into the same sort of circle so that they couldn't have real conversation. And prayed, came Wednesday night, started to pray Thursday, Friday, and then she was in a situation where they just had a great conversation. Why? Because she was in the right place. Again, looking at that scripture from, for your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines your paths. It's sometimes little scriptures like this can get to us. It really can, because if everything comes, everything we do flows from our heart, then we need to make sure that we continue to examine our hearts to ensure that the motives of our hearts are genuine and in alignment with his plan and purpose for our life. One of the things that the Bible College students, when they were coming to the end of the time, sometimes people stay with us for a year, sometimes 2 years. And one of the things that I always said to people towards the end, or even actually beginning, don't make excuses. Don't live with regret. Because we have people coming to Bible school, and some of them have been Christians virtually all their lives. Other times people were just new believers, but they were so excited about the things of God, they wanted to come to Bible school straight away. And we accepted, after interviews, everybody from all the extremes, and old and young as well. But one of the things that we said regularly is that do not live with any regret. Don't live with that understanding, oh, I wish I'd prayed a little bit more. And obviously this was in the college year or 2 years. And there's a few ex-students here, and they will have heard me say something similar to this. Because one of the things that I realize is that sometimes people came to the end of the year, and some people were really soaring with God, and others were just, in a sense, it's just like a cruise through college, because they didn't put themselves out in the way that God wanted to for them to do that. And therefore, when they came to the end of the year, there was different things happened in different people. And sometimes the people who gave themselves into prayer, into the word, into study, into the diligence in lecture, in diligence in what we were asking them to do, book reviews, and things like that. We looked at those things, and sometimes the work that were handed in, there was one time where somebody literally handed in a copy of somebody else's report. Seriously. And it was just like they thought I was daft, and they thought that I wouldn't see that it was a copy of somebody else's report, and I knew exactly who had copied which one. Nathan, no. But I did. You just know who were trying to get away with things, and some people who were very diligent and sort of saying, Lord, I'm going to get everything out of what you were wanting to put into me in this year. And there's a difference. And that's why we were continually saying, don't live with regret. Don't live with what ifs in my life. What if I had given a little bit more time to prayer in the morning? What if I was to, you know, speak in tongues for 10 minutes a day? What if I was to serve on a Sunday in a different way or capacity? What if I was to go the extra mile in loving somebody? What if I was to open up my home for fellowship or whatever that looks like? What if? And I didn't want any student to leave Bible school with, oh, if only I had done this. Yeah. If I only had spent a little bit more time with the Lord, maybe I would be further ahead than I am currently. If I only had attended the lectures in a more hungry way, that I just didn't turn up and nearly fell asleep at them. And I was in Ghana, and I didn't nearly have to throw things at people, because it was about 11:30 at night, nearly 12 o'clock sometimes before we finished. And you could see people were dropping off. So you suddenly had to say, shout, or something to make everybody up. So if I start to shout, you know that somebody's falling asleep. But again, it's not... I don't want us to get to a point that if everything flows from our heart, that there's anything negative flowing from our heart, it's always positive. So that we're not making excuses about any part of our life or our journey or our walk. One of the biggest excuses I do hear is that, you know, because people have to get up early sometimes to go to work, that they then have an excuse not to have time with the Lord. They sort of say, oh, I've got to get up, I've got to get a train, and so therefore my time with the Lord, I don't have any, I don't really get anything regular. For me, that shows a heart condition in different individuals. It's a heart thing, because everything you do, including your prayer time, your reading of the word, your fellowship with one another, everything you do flows from your heart. And that's why I want God to give you dreams, so that from the overflow of your heart, your actions and your words speak clearly. So, you know, not in this church, of course this church is perfect. But one of the things that, you know, you see in the other churches around us is that we have people who, when they come for counseling or they come to you for a difficult situation or something going on in their life, one of the first questions that actually Pastor Colin taught us to ask is, what's your relationship like with the Lord? It wasn't to do with the issue that was that they were coming to talk about with me, but it was actually what Pastor Colin taught me, and he's obviously the founder of Kingdom Faith. He just said, actually, it's about the relationship with God first and foremost. What's the condition of the heart? Because once you know the condition of your heart, you will know how to help them in that particular situation. Because if you understand, and if they understand that it's, you know, that everything you do flows from your heart, then every action will result in you having an encounter with God and allowing that river of life to flow through your heart and life into every other area that you're involved in, whether that's a marriage issue, whether that's a health issue, whether that's a work challenge, whether it's a financial challenge, a relationship challenge, whatever that looks like. Actually, the first thing you need to do is find out, okay, for this is obviously believers, people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, okay, what is your relationship with God like? How's your prayer life? When was the last time you got into the Word? What have you got, what God has been saying in your journal? Because if they've got a journal, this is my journal, and Helen has got one, and I know several other people in the church have one, and we just write down what we believe God is saying every day. And then sometimes we go over and there's a thread that God is speaking normally on a day-to-day basis to just really, and that's where you sort of say, that's God. That's what God's saying to me. And you can hold on to those things. And because you know God is saying those things to you, you know that from the condition and from the overflow of your heart, you can begin to act accordingly. Whatever God is showing you, you can act accordingly. So in these counseling sessions, if somebody sort of says, oh, I don't know if I've, when was the last time I prayed? That probably was that Tuesday or Monday? You know, actually, there's a heart problem here. Now, there may be other situations going off in their life, but you know that the key is the relationship with God. If they have to sort of, when was the last time you opened the Bible? I don't know, the dust comes off it first. You know that there is an issue of the heart that God is wanting to address, so that when that comes into right order, then the Holy Spirit can then flow Because according to this, everything you do flows from your heart. So if the heart is in good condition, then everything else that flows from the heart will be fruitful. Yeah. And that's not to say that there's not going to be challenges in the world. We all know that we all face difficulties, challenges, sometimes every day. But if our condition of our heart is right, if our relationship with God is right, then what will flow out of us will be His wisdom, His understanding. And that's what, you know, Proverbs is all around about. And do you notice that its wisdom is declared as a woman? The second voice. But for your ways are in full view of the Lord, it says, and He examines all your paths. That's Proverbs chapter 5. We can't hide anything from God, and we can't hide our motives. We can't actually hide our excuses. I don't really have a discipline. I'll read the Bible when I feel like it, and I pray when I feel like it. We can't hide those attitudes from the Lord because it's a motive. Because if our hearts are engaged with Him and our hearts are in love with who God is and His word, His truth, then the reality of those things that will be overflowing in our lives will have tangible effects in our life. We will want to have a disciplined prayer life. Whether that's morning or evening for me, or even lunchtime, it doesn't matter what time of the day, but that's something that you need to work out with Him. But what I am saying is that if we are going to be people who are going to be effective in seeing God change London and the nations, and that's my heart, that's my dream, because I know God is wanting to bring a great awakening. Revival is one word now that has been so overused. And so therefore people think revival is just a blessing meeting. I'm talking about an awakening. I'm talking about a move of God's Spirit that will bring transformation into different communities, into different situations and circumstances. You know, I praise God for some of the things that have happened in Latin America. The Argentinian revival that took place in the 50s and the 60s and actually went on beyond that. You know, there was prayer meetings with small groups of people who just prayed together, and they just really got hold of God and said, no, I'm going to have this. We're going to see what we're seeing, what we're dreaming about, an awakening in our nation. And then obviously some of the evangelists came into Argentina and saw some great moves of the Spirit, and large churches grew out of that. But you know, one of the things that really motivated them was a love for God and a love for people. There's other moves of God where there's holiness was the key part of that move of God. There's other times where it's salvation, that there's just hundreds of people getting to know the Lord, coming to know the Lord, rededicating their life, recommitting their life to the Lord. That's what happened in Pensacola in the 90s. That there was just a whole recommitting of their lives because of lukewarmness in people's hearts. 80s, 90s, early 2000s in Argentina, it was love. The power of a love for God that motivated people. So therefore, the overflow of the heart was love. Love in their language, love in their actions. Sometimes in Argentina, they weren't going to bed until 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. They were getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to have their prayer time before they went to work at 6, and then they were back in church 7, 8 o'clock for 4, 5 hours. When was family time? It was between 12 and 1 o'clock before they went to bed. And they sustained that. God sustained them for a period of time. And I believe God graces period. If we try to do that in our church, starting from tomorrow, we're going to have meetings going on till midnight, and we're going to all get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we can't sustain that because that's something of man's effort. When God's involved, it transforms things because of grace that is there. But you know, in Argentina, it was love. It was a tremendous love that God had for him and therefore it motivated people into right responses, no excuses. People didn't have an excuse. Why? Because they didn't want to they didn't want to get into a position that if they knew that God's ways, our ways are in full view of God, we didn't want to make and do anything that was going to be contrary to what he had planned and purposed for my life. He examines my path. And so therefore, if I'm in love with God and I'm in love with his plans and purposes, and I'm loving being in communion with you guys, then I want to make sure that when God examines my paths, they're good ones. And not making excuses in those things. That I'm not, choosing something that is completely different from the plan that God has for me. I believe God wants us to have so much joy. And that's one of the things about Argentina. When there's so much love and peace, there's so much joy. There's so much laughter going on in Argentina. Even to this day, there's things that are happening in Argentina, big meetings going on. Brazil, it's overflown to Brazil. And back in 2000, the Brazilians actually started to come across here as missionaries because they saw that UK needed a move of God in a fresh way. And I know that several churches, several people and several communities and several churches in Brazil started to send missionaries back out. Because obviously we were a blessing. This nation has been a blessing to many nations over a period of time. Because we've had the right heart. We've had the conviction that we need to go and share the love of God to other nations. And we've as a nation, have done that in many, many different countries of the world. And it's not something that we can brag about, but it's something that has been established here. And because it's been established here, now missionaries are coming from other countries back to here because they're saying, we have received so much from your nation, we're now wanting to give back to your nation. And because of that, we have had several people from Brazil that have come across, and big groups of people have come to do missions over from Brazil because of what God had done in that situation. Why? Because of the overflow of the heart, the motive of the heart. And because of the motive of the heart, there was not an excuse. And so therefore, people understood that if my way is in full view of you, then I want to make sure that when you examine my life and you examine my journey day to day, that I'm actually on the right path. I'm doing the right thing. I'm responding to what you are wanting in my life. That Wednesday night was great, and Helena was excellent on Wednesday night in what she brought about the speaking in tongues. What one of the things that we want every one of you to do is to be able to speak in tongues. Obviously, it's not the only gift. There's other gifts. There's kindness, gentleness, meekness. There's all other gifts. But, I can remember Paul when we first started to come here. And you had a testimony, didn't you, Paul, about you started to speak in tongues every morning and how life-transforming that was for you. I can remember that testimony. And, that for me, just like Wendy, when she started to speak in tongues and, when you start speaking in tongues and you give 10 minutes a day, then something begins to happen. Your mind engages with what the Spirit is doing, and suddenly you're thinking in a particular way, in the way that God wants you to think. And therefore, you're speaking in tongues, then you're speaking in your own language. Then you're speaking again in tongues, and then you're, in a sense, you're interpreting that tongue. And it's I can remember the testimony very well. We were at St. Peter's, and Paul stood up and just said how life-transforming it was. And, sometimes we can get into patterns where we do things for a season. And then we, not deliberately, but we just fall out of a routine. We fall out of a discipline. Sometimes, I know a church who every August, they have a time of prayer and fasting at the end of August. Why? Because it's the end of the holiday season. And sometimes during holiday seasons, you take your foot off the spiritual pedal a little bit. You relax, but sometimes you can relax quite spiritually as well. And, you know, it's not that that's wrong, because I think, you know, God wants to give us rest. God wants us to have holidays. But this particular church, and it's in the United States, at the end of August, they have like a relaunch into the autumn, because, and they have 21 days of prayer and fasting at the end of August. Whew. Why? Because they wanted to make sure that they were not going to stay comfortable, that they were going to be at, on the forefront of all that God had planned and purposed, that they weren't wanting to shrink back and get comfortable. Because I don't know about you, that when we sometimes get comfortable, we just lose a little bit of an edge. We don't pray as much as we normally do. We don't use tongues in the way that we were doing. And we're not praying in the Spirit in the way that we used to. We're flicking through the Word of God quickly and not getting too much out of it. And it's all of these things that I don't believe God wants for us. And going back right to what I was saying at the beginning about dreaming. And I know it's not dreaming about Tranmere Rovers going to Wembley. I am dreaming. Tranmere Rovers at Wembley. But it's what God wants to do. What God wants to transform in your lives. Each one of you. I want to see God transform you to become the person God designed and created you to be. Each one of you has a plan and a destiny that God planned for you before the creation of the world. And he wants you to fulfill that plan. And sometimes it's, again, just having our allowing God to open our eyes to see what he has planned, that exciting journey. Yes, it can be sometimes full of challenges. But when we've got grip of God's hand and we're saying, okay, I'm following you, I'm going with you, because I want to make sure my heart is engaged with you. I want to make sure that everything in my life, everything that is flowing from my heart is something that you're pleased with, you desire, you long for. So that when you examine my ways, you examine my routine. Because we all have routine. But when you examine our routine, you find that the overflow of our heart, there's life in my routine, not death. There's life. Why? Because we are allowing the Holy Spirit to come and bring transformation into our everyday situations and circumstances. We're not just compartmentalizing the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, okay, this is my spiritual life and this other period, part of my life is just all over the place. No, God wants it all together. So that the life-giving Spirit of the living God, through what we're taking on board, where we're eating, what we're receiving from him day to day, what we're drinking, so that that sustains each and every one of us in our everyday life and situations and our challenges. So that when we do come into a situation where it's difficult or a challenge, then we're saying, okay, Lord, I ask you to come so that my motives are right, my thoughts are right. Everything from the overflow of my heart is in alignment with your plan and purpose, so that you will guide me through this particular situation. So that when you examine my ways, when you look into my heart and life, you see from the overflow of my heart, there's good things. There's the faith that will believe that you're going to take me through the obstacles of life. You know, we're praying for Belle's dad, who is a minister in the Anglican Church. And I'm believing with Belle and the family that God is going to take all cancer out of his body. Every single ounce of cancer out of his body.
Amen.
For God's glory.
Amen.
I believe that. Because I believe that the plan that God has for him, Jeremy, is not now. There's plans God has. There's promises that God is yet to fulfill. So that's why I'm not having it. And that's why I don't mind publicly declaring some of these things. Because, you know, this is where we have challenges en route, on journey. Sometimes buses stop. Sometimes, you know, our cars break down, don't they? and, you know, sometimes we need to be recharged. And sorry, Claire's car. Was it last week?
Yeah.
So the battery went dead. And so when she went, she couldn't get the car open and she couldn't get it started because the battery went flat.
Praise the Lord for the AA.
But for me, it's sometimes a picture how we can be spiritually. Yeah. That times we can feel flat and we then need to go to the source of power to recharge us. And sometimes, you know, I think for me, I'm guilty of this sometimes. I try and recharge myself without actually going to him. You know, I have a little bit of extra sleep. Thinking that that's actually going to recharge my batteries. And it may do in a natural way, but not actually spiritually.
Yeah.
And I believe that when we're spiritually alive,
yes. Yeah.
Then God actually, in Colossians chapter 1, right at the end of that chapter, it talks about his divine energy.
Yeah.
And I believe God wants to give us divine energy for us to fulfill everything that he's planned and purposed for every single one of our lives.
Yeah.
His divine energy sustaining us so that our batteries do not run flat.
Amen.
So that when we get to a point where rest is important. And biblically, it talks about the Sabbath rest. And whatever that means for you, I believe that God had worked 6 days and there was a seventh day where he wanted us to recharge our physical batteries. But do you know what? A move of God, revival, a reformation, that I believe that God, I'm seeing that London is going to be set ablaze. And Helena had that picture of all the fires around London and the River Thames being like lava flowing right through the capital. These things we've seen. And so we believe these things. We know it can't be men and women who are going to see these things happen. Yes, we can be part of it by being obedient to what God's asking us to do. So that all our ways, when he examines those ways, they're good. Because we're doing it in line with his plan and purpose. But one of the things that we need to understand is that we need to keep going back to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, because where he wants you to be, that's where your batteries will be charged and your physical batteries will be charged in a greater way. When you're meant in the right place, not in the wrong place. There is many stories in the Old Testament and the New Testament. When people are in the wrong place at the wrong time, they start getting into wrong things. Doing wrong things. Apathy sets in. All sorts of different things happen when you're not in the right place doing the right thing. King David with Bathsheba is a prime example of that. But that's not what we're storing today. If we could stand because our time has run out. But there's just one more scripture that I want us to understand, and that's Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. And Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. It says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. That's Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It, sin, desires to have you, but you must rule over it. And I just feel that that's something that we just need to be aware of as a church, as individuals. That if we are not in that right place with the Lord, then the enemy is crouching at the door to try and take us off the path that he has planned and purposed for our life. God's planned and purposed for our life. So it's important that we must rule over everything in our own lives. Yes, with the enabling of the Holy Spirit. So that we do not allow sin to be at the door of our lives, but we push it away. So that when God examines our ways, our paths, the decisions that we make that come out of the overflow of our heart, that God will look down on each and every one of us with a smile on his face, saying, "Well done. That's right. You're doing well. You're on the path that I've asked you to walk. Yeah, come on. Dream of those things that suddenly, when you became a Christian, you were dreaming big dreams, but you, because of life and sometimes the situations of life, you suppressed them. I believe that somebody has been dreaming of you as a family worshipping God together. And I believe God is wanting you to resurrect that dream because it was something that he gave you. You see, God can give dreams individually for your personal circumstances. But he also can begin to give you dreams about cities, towns, villages, nations. So if you know today that there is anything that you've asked, need to go and say, "Lord, forgive me for suppressing the dream," then it's very quickly dealt with. Lord, just forgive me. Bring me back into that place where the overflow of my heart is completely in alignment with your plan and purpose for my life. Lord, I choose today to align my life with your plan, your purpose, so that the condition of my heart, Father, Lord, is right before your eyes, so that my words and my actions align up with everything that you've planned and purposed for me and for us as a people who are seeking to put you first in every area of our lives. Everything you do flows from your heart. For your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. So, Father, I just ask you that for each and every one of us, that every day this week, Father, Lord, that we will be putting you first in every area of our lives, so that our heart is flowing and overflowing with your life in every way. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Just lift our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. All condemnation goes right now in the name of Jesus. Any sense of condemnation, the word of God comes to bring release of freedom and life. And you'll know in your own self, as I do, the things that where the Spirit's convicted me in that word. But condemnation goes right now, and God is saying, my grace is sufficient for you. So just right now, right across this room, the grace of God be released. His power, his divine supernatural power outside of yourself, released right now. Where it's felt too hard, it's felt too difficult, it's felt like, I just don't know how to break through in that, I don't know how to see that, I don't know how to believe that, I don't know how to hope for that. The grace of God comes right now in the name of Jesus. My power is made perfect in your weakness, says God. And God is able to make all grace abound to us, so that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. So just receive of the grace of God. Let the word settle in you deeply. Let it take root. And the grace come now to water that word. Bring a harvest. Thank you, Father. Just thank him. Thank him. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you give me what I need this week. This week, Lord, I'm going to see it this week. I'm going to see a change this week, Father. Even as I go from here, Lord, your grace, your power at work in a new way. I give you praise. I give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Okay, you can take a seat. Great word. Let's just thank Pastor Jonathan for that word. And let the Holy Spirit just work on that seed that's now planted this week. Amen. We pray that the word today has really encouraged you, built you up, inspired you, spoken right into your situation. If you've got questions to anything that you've heard, or you'd like someone to talk to or to pray with you, then do contact us on our website, www.kingdomfaithlondon.com.